Hi, my name is Nariba Shepherd.
And I'm Justin Arnett Graham.
And this is Terms of Service. Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, here we are. Back at it.
I know.
Yeah.
I discovered a truth this morning, though.
Oh, okay. Well, let's
if you let's wake up and you get ready and you eat breakfast and drink your caffeinated beverage of your choice, you feel better.
Yes, this is. I mean, you know, it's hydration station.
Literally, I never eat before I get here. Well, I'm just like starving until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, well, that is
just hyped up on coffee.
That's fair. Well, sorry that we have done that to you in the past. Please don't come for us in the comments.
No, it's not his fault. It's my fault. I'm lazy.
No, you're fine.
How are you doing though?
I'm well. I'm actually. It's been a really interesting time and a really interesting thing because a bitch got a blender.
Ooh.
Okay. And I cannot tell you how much I love it, but I didn't blend anything this morning. But the problem is just like, it sounds like a fucking jet taking off.
What kind of blender did you get?
Can't tell you because I don't know.
Okay. So it's not a KitchenAid.
It is not. Okay. No, it is something else. It was actually gifted to me by a wonderful, wonderful friend who, by the time that this episode drops, he will be in the wild, but like in the wild for real. Like he has this whole thing.
I don't fucks with nature like that.
Listen, when I tell you that one of the big things that he's looking forward to is sleeping on a lake.
No.
In a sleeping bag while just gazing at the stars. And I'm like, that sounds extremely
peaceful. That is open
air
as fuck.
It sounds so peaceful.
All I feel
but
are
then
the
also,
bears.
It sounds white to me because there's just like, I can't do it.
Listen, my boyfriend just wants to live somewhere that he could put up a hammock and just like sleep in it. He has one of those zip up hammocks for like when he bikes somewhere and he's like, I'm going to sleep here overnight. I don't get it.
No, I don't know.
I don't get it.
But like, I respect that. And also I really respect this blender.
Okay. One more question about the blender. Is it a square or is it round, the top, the blender top?
That is a wonderful question.
Oh my God, Justin.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean,
you're such a visual person. I just thought it would be like in your mind's eye.
I'm just like, I see it, but I don't like, I think it's circular. I think it's not a Vitamix if that's what like you're
I'm
trying to
figure out like if it's a bootleg Vitamix or nah.
I mean, it might be, which is also why it sounds like a fucking jet taking off.
Oh, fair.
Because it's like, it's insane.
It's okay. The 11-year-old discovered smoothies like 3 weeks ago. So every day the blender is dirty.
Oh, that's
funny. And part of the deal is that you have to wash the blender afterwards. So I've just been like fighting with a terrorist. Nope. Let me take that back because the world is falling apart. I've been fighting with a teenager. Basically, a preteen.
This is same thing.
I just like, how
same
am I being
sometimes.
Called cringe by someone who like doesn't know about the world yet?
Well,
I don't
that sounds like
know.
Someone that needs to go to their room. So, there's that. And I say that in the most respectful way possible.
I feel like we should have brought in our guest while I was trying to decipher what kind of blender.
Well,
you
I
have.
Mean, we can easily bring in our guest now.
What's up, girl?
But I'm still not going to know what kind of fucking blender I was given.
Well, text me about it later.
Okay, perfect. Okay. I will take a photo of it when I when I get back home.
Whatever day that is,
exactly.
You let me know.
Yeah, I will let you know. I might send it over to you at like 6 a.m. Who knows?
That's fine. I wake up to feed a cat who doesn't understand time.
Okay. That is fair. So on that note. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great.
Yeah, thank you. It's like a nice little vibe, but we're having really crystal clear oxygen over here.
Mm-hmm,
we're surrounded by our plant babies that Nariba has been so wonderful at taking care of. And
so much better at that than I am.
I could never.
They're looking a little sad, but I sprayed them a little bit.
This is sad?
Okay. This is sad. Oh. Yeah. Jay-Z has a whole new leaf, though, in the back.
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Would you say that he has a whole new leaf on life?
Okay, Jeremy, you know what? You're going to fit in. You're going to fit in perfectly. You're going to fit in perfectly.
Thanks so much.
Yes.
It's great to be here. I'll see you later. Thank you. Bye.
Yes. So thank you for that. Jeremy's coming for my crown here with these, you know, ridiculous jokes. But I got you. I got you.
Well, fun. Let's see. The joke's on him now, because what's your sign?
Ooh.
Damn, Nariba.
I remember today.
Shit. Okay. Yeah, let's go.
I am a Capricorn.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, I did. There's a Taurus rising or something in there.
God.
What's the third?
Yeah, what does this mean?
It's basically, you know what? Why don't you?
That's Earth on Earth.
You're what?
That's Earth on Earth.
Okay.
Taurus rising, grounded. I mean, Taurus rising means that, like, you present to the world as, like, a very comfortable person who is. Tauruses are very charming, so are Capricorns. But
I got something to say about Tauruses, but yeah, I'm going to let you
finish. Listen, they're something else. They're stubborn as shit.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
I'm definitely mostly Capricorn, but some of that stubborn as shit part.
I mean, Capricorns are also stubborn as hell, but like Tauruses take the cake. I am in a full relationship with one, and he makes me crazy sometimes. But Tauruses also like to feel like comforted, and they like to spend money. Capricorns like money.
Mm-hmm.
They are about mining the money.
Need it.
It's.
I need all of the money to support my Sagittarius wife, who is. Let's leave. We should just. We gotta go.
Yeah.
I love your wife, by the way.
I do too. She's fantastic.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Sagittarius do always want to go somewhere.
She's probably looking at flights to Vegas or Seattle right now because she's doing that instead of getting ready for work.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which, you know, when you're a Capricorn and you have all of the monies, you can be like, okay, good point.
Yeah, just let's go do the thing.
We should do the thing.
Okay. All right.
Some of my faves are Capricorns. The 11-year-old is a Capricorn.
Mm.
But you know, like that's a young Capricorn. It's not fully developed.
Hasn't embraced the I need to work to prove myself thing yet.
So not so much.
Just me?
Okay, this bitch has like two separate ways of saving money. There's like the online, like get paid for your chores thing, which I don't
fucking
understand.
Isn't that such a weird thing now?
I don't
just like
get it.
You have an app.
It's like a debit card setup situation. So like every time they do chores, Delaney sends like money for the chores.
Huh.
You check it off on the list and then the parent okays it and the transfer happens. And then I don't know
you're
from
like
where
your kid.
It basically And then other people, including myself, will be like, I don't want to do the dishes. I'll give you $6 if you do the dishes type situation.
Okay.
So then now it's like a deli container that's just full of cash.
I mean,
and they love to be like, I have this amount of money on my phone in my account, but this is how much money I have here. And like, okay, so the epitome of it was, I don't know what happened, but there was a yelling situation like in another part of the house. And I heard the 11-year-old say to the 6-year-old, you're a rat. You're a rat. You're a snitch. And I will never buy anything for you from the store. I don't know what happened still. But that shit was hilarious. That's like some raised Chicago shit.
Is the deli of money mysteriously missing now?
Oh, well, it travels with them from house to house.
You know, that kind of reminds me to like this random ass Family Guy episode where Brian owed Stewie some money.
Oh, yeah. Or was it Stewie? Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Brian owed Stewie. Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Because Stewie...
broke his neck.
Fucked him up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And so it's just like 24 hours. But that just, you know, you got my money. You got my money. I was like, you know what? I live for that episode.
It's a good one.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave it there. So
I've never watched Family Guy before.
Well, I will just say I will send you the link of that particular
cool
scene. Yeah. I mean, I don't watch it anymore. And this isn't to say to anyone that, you know.
Oh, you too cool for TV now?
No, I'm just saying that
Justin is never home.
Yeah, I can't do it. But when I am home, I am an old woman who keeps Law & Order SVU on repeat. Like, that is my white noise. That is absolutely my white noise. And I don't know what that says about me just deep down inside.
I mean, these are the facts. SVU is great.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Olivia Benson, excuse me,
all day.
A lion of a woman.
Stabler.
So.
when that. They put him
but
on
I'm
True
not watching
Blood.
Stabler, I'm not watching Stabler's new little thing in regards to the next offshoot of the Law and Order franchise.
I don't even know anymore.
We're not going to get into it, and I'm certainly
but
not
going
to drop
I'm not judging you because yeah, I'm still watching Grey's Anatomy. So
okay, and also, I don't know shit about Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. but the funny thing about that is everyone just seems to believe that it's going to go on for forever.
I don't know. It has to come to an end. Chandra ain't fucking with ABC no more. She on Netflix now, giving us Bridgerton and shit, so.
Nice.
I don't know what's going to happen with Grey's Anatomy, but I'm going to still watch it till the wheels fall off. I don't give a fuck. I have to know what's happening.
Okay. I was just like, whoa. I was like, I think I found you a push point with that, because I was like, oh, that's
I'm waiting to level amazing. Up to the point in my relationship with my partner's mom to, like, talk to her about Grey's Anatomy, because she watches it as well, and I think he hates that we both wear nightgowns and nice. Watch Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my god.
And yeah,
so before we kick this back over to Jeremy,
yes,
Scrubs
I have
is
something.
The best medical TV show
Scrubs
of all time.
Is
absolutely
so
fantastic. Yes, Scrubs is absolutely amazing.
Donald Faison,
so good.
Yes, the nightgowns comment just reminded me of this meme that I saw on the good old Bird app. We all know what that is. And it was a photo of essentially like a muumuu.
Yes.
And someone was just like, you know, y'all can be doing whatever it is that you think you need to be doing out here in these streets. But this right here will have you, like, you know, raising 16 kids, like, in the deep south. And I was like, if that was not my grandmother, I was just like, these are facts. These are absolute facts.
Because
that was
bitch.
Her whole thing. Like, I mean, there was a whole thing. And I will never forget.
I do not want 16 kids, but I would like
my
a
grandmother.
Dog.
My so really quick, my mm-hmm. my grandmother gave birth to 15 children.
Absolutely the fuck not.
My mother Jesus. Is the 7th out of 15, and she just screams middle child syndrome.
110%.
So, you know, and I say that with love to my mom. And I mean, of all of my grandmother is no longer with us. But so every memory that I have of her is just like her, like, mm-hmm. just, you know, wade by the water and shit like that. And just like sliding those house shoes from point A to point B mm-hmm. in that big old house in Arkansas. And I'm just like, well, you know what? I'm like, at this point, you raised 15 kids.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Do whatever you want.
Just, damn right.
I'm like, you don't have to beat the face. You don't have Mm-mm. to do anything. It's just like, because I'm tired just being newly 36.
Yeah.
Listen.
Fresh.
Listen. I can't even have a cat.
Try having four.
You have four cats?
I have four cats.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
All trash cats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. If that is not the name of this episode, I don't know what should be.
All trash cats.
Yes.
All trash cats. Hell yeah.
At Trash Cat Army.
Okay. Yes. What's your cats' names? Go.
Okay. First one, Luna.
Oh.
Second one, Tuna.
Oh.
Okay.
Singer.
Third one, Fart.
Yes.
Oh, good. Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Fourth one, Mark.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That
is such a
That is my favorite.
That is such a ridiculous journey that I cannot stand it.
I had a roommate that adopted a cat named Zappatats, and I saw that cat and I was like, your name's Greg. And that motherfucker is 17 now.
I can't handle
it. He just
it.
Like will
Greg's
never die.
Out here.
I cannot.
Beep,
beep. I cannot
okay, so my cats are Nevada Bobby Joe.
Oh.
She
stop
will
it.
Be 8 in on March 7th. And mm-hmm. then my second cat, her name is Darla Jean Gray, and today's her birthday. She's 2.
Happy birthday.
Shout outs to her.
Yes,
she stole the bag with the roti that I made earlier this week and got her head caught on the handle and was running around the kitchen with this brown paper bag trapped around her head, just dragging
cats.
The roti
gotta love it.
Everywhere. And then my boyfriend
has 2. I can hear that
2.
Situation
oh, yeah.
playing out
I was
in
at,
my...
I
can
was at
hear
a Blackhawks
it.
Game and I got a picture of her and I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
Cats be cats.
And then his cats are
cat-y.
Bugaboo,
mm-hmm.
oh who is 9. Yeah, she's
fire
a...
Destiny
she
Child
was a
song.
Wild...
Fire.
I don't. He didn't even know that song when he named her.
Who?
Andrew.
Stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Do not have me text Andrew right now. I was like, hold on.
She was like a feral cat that he found in the mountains of Tennessee.
She sounded like she was
and
a bugaboo.
She has like no tail. Exactly. Yeah. No tail.
Yeah.
She's pure white, long haired. She's beautiful, but a cunt. And then Roosevelt.
So is Luna.
And it's like just
terrorist of the house.
A like a black hole. Black cats look sort of like a black hole because their fur is like sort of incandescent.
Yep.
So you can see them
this
in.
Is so.
I know.
Interesting.
It's well, listen. Let's
well,
not.
Because I grew up with two cats. They're orange and white tabby cats, Sunny and Sammy.
Ooh.
And
yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I just like hearing you both speak about your cat situation. It just makes me think of all of the times to where I was just like, you two are the absolute worst, but they were truly the best.
Oh, the cats are the
and
worst.
Sammy,
but they're
Sammy
good.
Was terrified of everything. And Sonny.
So is Mark. That was mine. Mark's afraid of everything.
Aww.
Yeah, just like, ugh.
I had a cat like that. Her name was Onyx.
Mark That's
and,
cute.
Mark and Fart are from the same litter. Luna and Tuna were just, you know.
Trash cats.
All trash cats. Ugh. We had a feral cat colony at a house we had.
Bears.
20-something cats.
Well, so Jeremy,
hey,
if we can.
We can do whatever we want.
I'd love to get into your background, but before I do, these beautifully delicious beverages, which were created by Ryan of the Garnet team, featuring our friends over at Seedlip. And this is delicious.
Yeah.
And as I'm looking at it, I'm just like, well, how are you going to tell me that this is a non-alcoholic cocktail? Because the fact is, it is.
Yeah.
And so getting into this very specifically, so it's with Seedlip citrus, orange papaya juice, pomegranate, ooh, grenadine, some lime juice, orange blossom water, and an edible flower. And on that note, cheers to y'all. And especially cheers to you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
cheers.
For joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate yes. it. This is fantastic. I would
it
like
is.
To take a bath in this.
So
yeah, this is
what,
lovely.
What I like about this is it's giving me the texture of a sour.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no egg white in it because I fucking hate egg whites
what's the,
in cocktails.
What's the frothy bit?
I think
top?
It's the papaya. Oh.
Yeah.
I was sure
that
it was
mouth
an egg white.
Feel.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like that perfect, like,
yeah.
like coat your mouth, but not in like that weird, you know, oh, this is definitely eggs kind of way.
Yeah, this yes. is cute. This is real cute.
I do like that.
Yes. So.
And she's sugar-free?
And sugar-free.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, Jeremy, hello.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Hi. I am wonderful. So, if you could talk to us a bit about your background, we know who you are in regards to to the Zodiac.
On Instagram. Yeah.
You know, oh, and also the gram.
Yeah.
Also the gram. But, you know, let's get in to you, the
yeah.
man, the myth, the dope-ass dude. Yes.
Your words, not mine.
Okay. Well,
keep that Capricorn strong in my body.
Okay, yeah. No worries.
Well, I'm 36, born and raised in Chicago, Northwest Side.
Awesome. Chi City, baby.
Yep. I
oh my
am.
God.
I officially
period.
Don't live in Chicago. So I tell people I live in a small suburb just outside of Chicago.
Oh, so
fact,
you like do
I
it
am
the,
that
you,
person.
Oh, so you did
I,
it the
you know,
right way.
Oh, yeah. Because
okay.
I grew up okay. in the city proper and I was like, no, my zip code is 606. What is yours?
Mm-hmm.
Don't play me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, oh, I'm from Chicago. Where? Naperville.
No.
No, you have your
no.
own mayor.
No. The land.
Yeah.
The land of zero gravity.
No, yeah.
But
jeez. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome
yep.
for that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What
funny
that?
Thing.
What's zero gravity?
Zero gravity was
a mess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was an underage non-alcoholic, I'm throwing up air quotes
yeah.
right now, teenage nightclub.
Oh wow!
I used to get down with like the lemonade on the rocks, though, honey. I did. Okay,
that
I was
is just
like,
lemonade.
I was like, it was lemonade on the rocks. Okay,
rocks.
I was 17
on the rocks.
Yeah,
though.
I was very specific. And the funny thing about zero gravity,
outside
is,
of them entertaining lemonade on the rock,
yes. So, and this, I mean, and I, people can feel free to drag me about this all they want. But at the moment, I thought that I was truly doing something. So I had a friend that was like, yo, we're trying to slide over to zero gravity. And I was just like, what? That's lame as hell. They're like, well, Mallory from the real world is going to be there. And I was just like, I couldn't even tell you who she is right now.
Oh, same. But I know, like, that name.
Yeah,
but
I was just like,
I don't know her.
Yeah, I was like, let's go. Did we meet Mallory? Absolutely not. did we have a ton of
your life?
No, just like a ton of, you know, lemonade and, like, you know, like some Pepsi on the rocks.
My God. This on the rocks thing
it's real.
Is that how they God.
They really bought into you thinking you were at a club.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's 17.
It wasn't closed off, though.
No.
To those that were older, which also made it.
That's
creepy.
Mess. Yeah. That's the mess part of it. Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So well, how that place old did you have to anymore. Be to get in?
16? Like, I think so. 15 or 16? So you had to be. I think you just had to drive, basically.
Right. Like, yeah. You had to have a license.
A license.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could have had a permit at 15 or whatever if you were good at driver's ed. Oh yeah. Right. Mess. Yeah. Big mess.
That's crazy. Sloppy. Uh-huh. Crazy. Naperville. Oh, no, that's wild. Yeah, get it together.
No. It's
Naperville being Naperville. Though.
Yeah.
I am going to be in Naperville in a couple of weeks because my friend Nancy is getting ready to bus a baby out. I'm ready.
I was like, whoa.
I'm so excited.
Where is this going?
I was like, I have never heard an upcoming pregnancy announcement like that. And wow, that was phenomenal. So thank you. Wonderful. So
I mean, the way that I look at pregnancy is very one-sided. I'm like, you're growing a parasite inside of your body. It's sucking 20% of your brain over to, like, form this life. You're stupid for the last trimester. And then you just, like, get overloaded with oxytocin when you, like, give birth so that you forget that it happened and you, like, get manipulated by a small human. And I want
is
to do
true?
It. Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I
went to school for this shit. Yeah, I trust.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, and I'm definitely like not going to question it.
No,
just
no,
like,
it's that's all like, it is.
That doesn't sound right.
But like, it is. I'm like, yeah. I'm still like, why haven't we found a better way to grow humans?
Oh, I think it's coming.
There's a couple movies about that.
I know, but they're not great. They're not fleshed out very well. I think it could be better.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Well. Yeah.
But where did you start your
in a tube in a human farm.
You're like, actually.
Yeah, I'm from a pod.
Nice, nice. In Naperville.
In Naperville, yeah. No, I grew up on the Northwest side. I didn't start cooking until I was in my early 20s after I failed out of DePaul. I wanted to go to school for music. I was a big band geek in high school.
Nice.
Didn't land where I wanted to with
that. Drum. What's that called?
I don't know.
I think it's just called the big drum.
I say it might just be the big drum.
Yeah, like it's the big drum.
Just music.
With the big mallet. Were you marching band?
I was not marching band. I literally was in band for 2 days.
Oh.
2 days. And I was like, you know.
Well, then you can say that you played an instrument.
They let me play it.
For 2 days.
2 days.
1 day, actually. But that's
fine.
No, I mean, it's just like,
out.
Yeah, it's just like, but like, the fact is that I still played that big drum.
I guess this is true.
During the time.
Yeah. It's a fact.
That I was a part of band.
I played the steel pan.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I can say that because I was forced to take the class for the whole year on the weekends. And
is that
like performed in carnival. What?
No, so this is the big...
This, like, you're from...
Come on.
I'm from...
You're of Jamaican descent, and you don't know what steel...
Oh, my God.
You don't know what steel pan is?
I literally went the entirely... Yeah, we're going to cut that. Yeah. I was like, wow. Whoo.
Okay, but what did you play in band?
Yes.
I play bass.
Okay.
I started on electric.
Was I playing the bass?
Hmm?
It's all about
the bass.
Bass
is the... The guitar.
Yeah,
I started
guitar.
On the electric and the guitar, and then I worked my
like
way
an
into
idiot
upright.
When it comes to like these instruments right now, but it's fine. We'll get there. We're
good.
Get there.
We're here together. We're getting
learning.
Through this.
Yeah.
We're learning together. It's gonna be great. But yes, you played the
had
bass.
Had a couple bands, did that for a while, and then you know, I once I was out of DePaul, An older brother of mine got me into the nightlife industry, and, you know, I was helping him at nightclubs he was managing and stuff, doing, I mean, lights, coat check. You know, I was the computer nerd, so it was like, make a flyer for me. And then we literally like threw a party for all the people, and he was like, you and me are going to cook. And I was like, oh, cool. Nice. And then it was like, oh, this is fun. Mm-hmm. And then I went to school, got a job outside of that. And I mean, that was what, 2008, 2009?
Mm-hmm. Dang.
Been pretty much doing it ever since. I took a couple years off after a restaurant that I was at closed, and then I followed the chef to another situation that was just kind of a bad deal. Left and went and played some music again. I got to tour the country, do that whole thing, scratch that itch I never got in high school.
It's amazing.
And then, you know, it's like picking up catering gigs and everything the whole time. And then it was, once it was time to wrap that up, I dabbled in managing front of house for a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, how was that?
It was good, actually. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. I liked the financials. Like, I like numbers.
Big
and
Capricorn
stuff like that.
Yeah. Energy.
Hey, if there's something like to numbers. Learn, let me fucking get it, because I need it to live. That's pretty much how I operate. And then I got fired because I broke on accident a bottle of Macallan M.
Oh, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
So then it was like, once that happened, I was out of a job for a couple months. And then, you know, I got back into the kitchen, and that was what, 6 or 8 years ago. And it was like, you know, like riding a bike. Once you get back into a kitchen, get your hand on a saute pan, you're like, oh,
I hope so. Yeah, because yeah. I woke up in a panic last week because I'm about to like sell my soul to a friend.
Oh, no.
It's a good one. Okay, he definitely helped me out. He would like was working full time. Like doing a vending machine, like a health food vending machine situation. Oh. He was the chef, the only person working everything Monday through Friday. And then Saturday and Sundays would drive out to the fucking burbs to help me with brunch while I was like executive chefing and had no staff.
Damn.
So I like owe him.
That's a friend.
Yeah. So I'm doing this. But I haven't like worked an actual line in almost a year and a half.
Dude, you'll be fine.
And I'm just like, I woke up panicking. I had like a long ass text message conversation with Maria. Mm-hmm. Maria Russell, I love you.
Hi.
About it. And she was like, it's fine. Like, don't you worry about it.
You'll be fine. You'll get back in there, and like, you'll stumble for like half a second and be like, what the fuck am I? I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Like, and then it just like snaps it and you're back on it.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It's
trust. I believe in you. Well,
that's really interesting, because it's like, you know, something that, you know, we're going to talk about quite a few things, but very specifically, the idea of, you know, the brigade system, like, you know, what that looks like, kind of like the history of the brigade system, which like, I don't really know.
I'm not an expert on it,
I'm
but
not
like
an expert,
know
but
where it came from and kind of why it was. And, you know, like,
tell me.
So, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it all was at Escoffier back in the day. It was like everybody had their place in the kitchen and they did one specific thing. Like you had your fish guy, and I'm not even going to try to say the words in
Poisson.
French. Poissonnier or Poisson. Something. Yeah. I don't.
Okay.
Would
it be okay to say that we are still in a poissonnier?
Oh, what? My, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're welcome
are.
For that. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're
and,
absolutely welcome
and
for that.
And it's getting spicier.
Mm.
It's getting spicier.
Ooh.
The least spicy country in the world has walked into another one like, we like this.
Mm.
We gonna take it now.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We don't listen.
Yep.
All I'm saying is that I've been like in an existential crisis about it, because
same.
America is like, I can't believe this is happening. But as someone from a full ass third world country, I was like, I was literally born in a coup.
Yeah. Were
like,
are you really?
I don't.
Oh, it's like,
why are you surprised?
It's the literal fucking Pikachu meme. We're like, is this happening?
Yeah.
Oh, word.
Yeah,
you have no idea like, how this is happening in a country.
No.
Exactly.
Please tell me more.
Well, and it's funny because, well, actually it's not funny, but there was,
it's kind of funny.
There was a conversation that I was a part of not too long ago, and it just really drove home the fact to where I was just like, you don't get a headline, you don't get like a notification, like, I mean, you don't, like, it's just so far removed.
Mm-hmm. I learned about it from memes and TikTok.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh,
I have got to send you, I'm going to send it to you both, this video that's like, if you don't know what's going on in the world, I'm going to break it down for you in like 90 seconds. And this girl, she's just like went in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's just like,
I posted
big bang
in my story
pee,
the
and, like,
other day.
It was
I get a lot of my news from your stories because I don't have TikTok. So when you repost them, I'm very thankful because I'm like, sick. No, I don't have to download another app.
Well, my depression also, makes it good.
I have said in the past, do not have TikTok on your phone because it is a true time suck.
Yeah.
But I say that as someone that has TikTok on my phone. So there is that.
I try not to go on it if I'm in bed because between
that's
like
what I
my partner and I, we will go into a spiral for like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And no, I can't.
No, it's insane.
Those are the boundaries.
That was insane.
I get my dabbles from you and I'm thankful for that. So.
And it's very rare that I post like a full TikTok.
Right.
Ever.
So when you do, I'm like, well, this is clearly important because if she took the time to put it there,
to download
I'm
going to
fucking
make
sure
you upload it.
Yeah.
I'm like someone's grandma with TikTok. I'm like, share it directly from TikTok to my, I don't want you connected to my Instagram. No.
Don't you
but
read.
I'm going to let
it's
you take
the
up
same
all this
handle.
Space on my phone though.
It's all the same handle. You can find me every, but I'm just like, no, you can't connect it.
It's different.
Fuck this shit. It's different.
You're like, no. Not over here. So
the brigade system.
Yes. The brigade system. But
if I'm not mistaken, I mean, like, kind of goes back to that, like, everybody has their place and it has their specialized duty. And it's an interesting way to like think about work in general and then also like a kitchen specifically. Because it's like it's a weird thing because you're completely compartmentalized in everything that you do. So like, you know, with the joke that everyone's like, well, that's not my job. Like, that shit was real back then. It was like, well, fish guy's not going to cook me because he's the fucking fish guy. And like
the irony of the situation is that kitchens are so anti-union when it started off basically being a union.
Right. It was like,
like you can't do that.
And that's it. Like fucking meat guy's not here today. Guess what? There's no fucking meat on the menu or chef's got to cook it. And he's
pissed
about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, I think it obviously it evolved from like the 1800s and shit like that. And and it kind of broke it up into like we have like, you know, garmage, cold apps, hot apps, you know, your veggies and your starches. And then you have like a meat cook and a fish cook. Mm-hmm. And then you have pastry. And like the first restaurant that I was in outside of school was like that. And it was like you started on garmage and then you worked your way up the line. And it was like it was like you walked in and like you could see the fucking hierarchy just based off of how many people you had to walk to get to your station. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. And it was like you literally had to look to your right, the way the line was set up. Like you had to look to your right to see your growth in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's like if you move further down the line to the right, like then you've done something right. But in doing that, you had to take that person's job.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's where I think the brigade system's kind of fucked up because it's like, it's not really about growth and nurturing. It's about like cutthroat, take it.
Yes.
And you know, I embraced it. I was, you know, I was 22 year old idiot. And I was like, fucking let's go. And I did. I was like, I'm taking your job, And like, I watched.
They
like,
took our gerbs.
They took our gerbs. And I'm like, yes, I did. Fuck you. But like, I watched friends get fired because I was doing better than them. And I was like, oh yeah, idiot. And then I was like, going
home. See, that's
home,
your problem
like,
there. You have friends.
Sucks. Yeah. I don't have friends anymore. It's fine. Fucking let
you're
that
like,
shit
I
go.
Yeah,
I got a couple friends that we, you know, we mental, you know, health check on everybody and shit.
Yeah.
And like, those are the friends I want.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
Right.
I got my wife. I got my cats. And then my six-ish friends that we check up
you're
on.
You're damn right.
And that's it. We're
good. You got to keep that circle tight.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely feel that.
But it's weird because like I've worked in only one that was like pretty hardline in that system. Mm-hmm. And it like it taught me a lot. It was the, you know, if you're on time, you're late. If you're early, you're on time.
I fucking hate that shit. As a full black person, I don't understand that saying. I don't get it.
But like,
is this a CP time reference?
I don't even know. I'm from an island too, so it's like
island time.
Yeah. Island time is
it's like when
so real.
My mom showed up an hour and a half late to an event that I was doing.
That's amazing.
She thought it was a suggestion.
Oh,
she's like,
so
oh, the
good.
Whole thing finished now? Yes, Sharon.
That's why it started. Yeah, me like yeah. today. I was early despite my best efforts to like show up at the time scheduled, and I was just like, well, I should walk from my car because it's two blocks away. So I should allow myself 20 minutes to get there. Like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
It's okay. We don't mind it here.
Okay, cool.
Justin's here from the crack of ass. I mean,
this is entirely true.
When you texted at 6:15 that you were like awake, I was like, I am laying in bed waiting for the second alarm. Thank you to right. go off right now. Well, like, I don't understand what you're saying.
That's factual. But in addition to that, starting at like a new job or like shit like that,
yep.
I have showed up and be like, well, you know, I don't want to be like too early because, you know, it's just like not trying to set
I don't want to set them up for failure. Exactly. Oh, yeah. I was just you're
like,
damn right.
I was just like, you know what, life happens and, you know, I got other shit going on. But I have been the person to where I'm just like, okay, well, I'm from Chicago. I know these streets well.
Yep. Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and walk the most ridiculous way to finally get to where I am going.
Yep.
And well, shit, now I think I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Then you got to hustle. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, well, that's too
I
much.
Was raised by a man who said you can't be late twice. So
ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
But I found my mentality changed over the last couple of years where I was just like, the fact that we ever expect anybody in the universe to be at one specific time
mm-hmm.
right. at
mm-hmm.
one specific place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, well, I don't. What? What is that? Why? Who says 11 o'clock on the... No, fuck. If you get here within 10, 15 minutes, I don't
it's
really
fine.
Give a
well,
shit.
Was
this man saying that you would be fired?
My dad?
Your dad was going to fire you?
No. He was like, you can't be late twice. So once you're late, you're already late.
Oh.
So you can't be late twice.
That is correct, like, because I was just like, I have been late plenty of times.
Yeah, but you so can't. But like, once you're late, you're times. Already late.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he also said this, like, when we were going to school.
Put that, like, put
well,
that on my...
You can't be late.
Put that on my headstone, okay? Like,
can't be late twice. I've definitely been late more than twice.
Yeah, just like,
it was actually his birthday.
I see a challenge and I rise to
on
it.
Thursday. So, yes. And I was like, you can't be late. That, yeah.
Huh.
Can't be late twice. Thanks, Shepard.
Yeah, thank you.
Sheppy.
Well, so we have, you know, obviously touched upon the brigade system, but I actually want to go a bit deeper into that. So, Jeremy, you have worked in numerous spots with numerous, one would say, like industry personalities. And one of the things that comes to mind, and you and I were talking about this prior, is, you know, the idea of gatekeeping.
Yeah.
For people that don't understand that term in regards to the hospitality industry, how would you explain that to them?
As a straight white male, let me go ahead and put my own foot in my mouth and describe how delicious it is. But the
put in your mouth and you chew it.
Yeah.
Swallow it.
I understand, you know, that who's having this conversation, and I make no claims to know anything about anything. I just, you know, I only speak of my experiences and stuff like that. But like in my experience of like the concept of gatekeeping in food and specifically Chicago, it seems like
it's delightful. I know.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is just. Yeah. Can I just come back every time you guys are here and just enjoy?
Oh, yeah.
Just sit at the bar.
Yeah, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
Have some non-alcoholic cocktails.
So yeah, nice. It's just a great way to start your day.
Right. And again, well, I mean, since we're kind of focused in on it right now.
Yeah, go for it. Get in there.
So, I mean, another delicious beverage offering from the Garnet Crew, again, featuring our friends over at Seedlip. This here is just... so delicious. I'm like, wait a second. So it is made with Seedlip herbal. I'm so sorry.
Go for it.
No, you're fine. Thyme, lavender syrup, and lemon oil.
It's interesting because like you get the thyme, you get the lemon. You don't really, you're not hit with the lavender.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Like, it's like a body that's there. And
it is
like,
actually blended in with it, and it is not its own distinct like
this
flavor.
This is fire.
It's so good.
And this...
Yes, and this is served over something that we always like to refer to as, you know, the secret ingredient. This is...
Love, just kidding.
Yeah.
Ryan has love for us.
Yes, absolutely. Part of me was going to be like, and it was sprinkled in this. That's not true. But so it's just like it is served alongside this beautiful offering from Corey Ice, which for those that have followed us on our industry narrative journey, it is a second chance program, and they cut their ice with the same steel that is used to make samurai swords.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We did like a little tour of their spot, and I was like, I kind of want to be a ninja.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, like, we don't like make the samurai. So I was like, okay, yeah. I was like, okay.
You're already pretty close to being a ninja in spirit. You wear black.
Thank you.
You are very elusive. Like, people see you, but then you just disappear. Like, they're always like, it's been a minute since I saw you. And you're like, I'm everywhere. So that means that you're not anywhere.
Okay.
If you can't see me.
I was like, well, maybe that needs to be on my headstone. Okay. So I was like, you know what? I will stand by that.
Yeah.
But also, I think that it kind of emulates what Kenyatta was saying in a past episode. It's just like, you know, popping out, but make it intentional.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I rarely do the popping out because I always seem to be out.
But yeah.
It is for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, to everyone else, it seems like it's a pop up. Like, you know, you're a pop-up.
Oh, I'm a pop-up.
Like, everywhere you go, yeah, you're a pop-up.
That's fair.
You bring a whole vibe.
I mean, facts.
Just saying. So yeah, you are in spirit a ninja.
Thank you.
All ninja! Right.
Well, again, thank you to our friends at Seedlip and Quarry Ice.
Thanks, guys.
But yeah, so gatekeeping, if you would continue. Oh, yeah, sorry. You know what I mean?
I think the short of it is that, like, people that grew up with, you know, family recipes and cultural food, there seems to be a level of like discomfort, and I don't know if it's anger. I'm not sure what it is, because I've tried to have a few of these conversations with people who have expressed, you know, disapproval for, you know, let's call it white chefs making, you know, different ethnicities food and then making money off of it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 110%.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the issue, is that it's like, well, what the fuck are you doing? You're white person from San Jose, or, you know, or whatever it is. And it's just like, I've tried to have a conversation with at least one person about it. And we got pretty in depth about it. You know, what was upsetting about this? And then why did this affect you this way? Like, what's going on? Like, get me to the root of it. Hi, Capricorn, need to learn more shit all the time. And I don't really understand who has the say. And why? Why does any person?
I have very strong opinions about it.
And I believe it. And like,
yeah.
But like, yeah. And that's, you know, kind of like we were talking. Like, I want to have this conversation because like the last 2-3 years of my life has been like putting myself in uncomfortable situations, have uncomfortable conversations, and like fucking figure it out. Because like, I mean, as you guys have talked about on this podcast over the last couple of years, is like, we all went through some shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, absolutely. And if you didn't come out of, I'm going to call it the Paladin on its crusade.
If
you didn't come out better, or like trying to better yourself, like, you missed a golden opportunity. And like,
this
is something that like I tried to figure out, because it's like
a renaissance period like culinary arts.
Yeah.
For
totally.
Sure.
And it's like the gatekeeping thing.
That's a great way of putting it.
I don't understand, like, where's the lawn, where's the line drawn? Like, do I get mad if somebody makes, like, a chicken and rice casserole? Because, like, that's what I grew up eating in my Midwestern house. But, like, we also made stir fry because my dad loved that shit.
Yeah.
And was like, we don't know what the fuck we were doing.
I think, I think for me, the line is drawn when you're profiting off of something that is not culturally yours.
And but that's like everything. No,
well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so this is the thing. Like, I had long conversations about this.
Deeper part of the conversation too.
I get really upset, like, when my very white boyfriend wants to use something that I've made of like a Trinidad dish. Uh-huh. And he's like, but you know, it would be really good if we made it into like bread for a cheese sandwich. I'm like, you're not using my doubles dough.
But what to, like, I was just about to say doubles and I was thing. Just like, and I think, it makes me want to have doubles right now. But
and
on.
There's a difference between like innovation and manipulation. And I think it comes from... And I feel passionate about it because this is like years and years and years of like cultural growth.
Yeah.
For to be minimized for someone else's gain into something else. And I'm not saying like there can't be white people who make ethnic food and profit off of it. I'm just saying like if you're not doing the full cultural research and you're just out here mispronouncing shit and like saying it's your take on something and you're using like ingredients from like all these different regions, you're taking away from like hundreds of years of like cultural growth.
If not longer.
And yeah.
Right, right.
And so like I think that there has to be a level of like personal respect in you if you're going to like work with these foods. The other part of that is if a person who is from that culture tells you that it's appropriation, it's appropriation.
Right.
And I think that like...
So then what do you do in that situation? And then, and that's, you know, this is where, you know, I, you know...
I think you have to be more thoughtful the next time you're going into it. Like, if you want to do that, I would say work with someone who is well-versed in... the cooking technique and the culture and all of that and make sure that you're showcasing that person's like experience and time and work, because that's another thing like in the culinary world that you don't see very often is like a menu could have a million things on it and the chef owns all of them. Like there are certain dishes that I can't make anymore because it was on the menu
put it on somebody
when
else's
we got
menu.
A Michelin star. Right. So like I can never do it again.
Yeah.
And I think that, in a larger sense, gatekeeping to me is more about not sharing the knowledge with someone else. Like I've shared tons of Trinidadian recipes with people, but I also like make sure that I instill like even a lot of the foods that I cook from Trinidad, I'm not of Indian descent.
Okay.
And but because culturally curry is such a large part of it, we all grow up with it. So I'm always very mindful of when I'm cooking like curried dishes that I'm doing it the way that they would do it, like my aunts growing up would do it. And I make sure that I talk to people about like where this came from, how it developed, because I don't want to make it seem like I created this. And I feel like a lot of white chefs are like, I came up with this thing. No, you didn't.
Well, so, I mean, nobody just came up with shit, really, at the end of the day. It's like, but like, and this is kind of like where I come from. Like, you know, I grew up in a, you know, Polish household. We had sauerkraut,
but they have like
and cabbage.
Yeah.
And it was like, but I mean, like, let's look at like sauerkraut. Okay. That's just fermented cabbage.
Yes.
Every culture's got a version of fermented cabbage. Yeah. But like, then let's look at fermentation as a whole right now. Like, because Rene Redzepi wrote a fucking book on it. Like everybody and their mother's like, I've fucking created fermented chili paste. No, the Chinese have been doing it for a thousand years.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's one of those things that it's like, where's that line drawn?
Because well, we're like, trying to draw them because they never existed because white people have owned everything for so long. So I feel like it's the understanding of like someone is actually saying no now.
Yeah.
And I feel like all of a sudden they're like, but why? And when we try to explain it, there's so many. I feel like whiteness is no boundaries. It's
we're terrible.
It's
we're
like
fucking
nature. Everything everywhere
you had
it
something,
is.
No, it's ours. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
like, I think that it feels uncomfortable to some people because it's the first time they're having a boundary placed on them.
Right. Yes.
And because people aren't used to hearing no, all of a sudden it's like, why is everyone like upset about this? I'm like, we were upset this whole time, but to make it,
we've been mad as hell.
Make it, you have to like play quiet, do nice things and blah, blah, blah. And like, I talk about this all the time, but like fish sauce.
I was just going to ask. I was almost like, Jeremy, my dude.
How do you feel about fish sauce?
How do you feel about fish sauce?
Listen, I have learned to understand its place.
Yes. Is the thing. You got to understand the place.
Like, I have, you know, some of my former sous chefs are like, I put it in my pasta sauce. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Exactly.
And they're like, well, no, let's break it down. Because like in my head, I mean, I worked for Stephanie for, almost, actually about 4 years. And she loves Red Boat fish sauce because that's what she grew up with. And like her mom, that's what they cooked. And I'm not speaking for anybody here, obviously. Like, let's make that fucking clear.
Yeah.
But like, people gave her shit for using it, but it was like, that's what she grew up with. So it's like, I've come to learn it from her.
Yeah.
Like, do I have fish sauce at home now? Absolutely.
I have fish sauce at home.
It's delicious.
But do I claim to know anything about it? No.
Well, and I think
yeah.
Just listening to how this is progressing, and it's not just me physically being in the middle here, but it's just the realization from a fun of house standpoint, and when you are selling these like
items,
menus,
like
these ideas, and it's always the draw of the name on the door versus the inspiration in which it's anchored in.
Yes.
And
it's weird. That's a great way to fucking look at it, because obviously, like, on the backside of it, you know, you're taking the idea, the ingredients and stuff like that. And like, you know, if I eat something, I'm like, oh, that was delicious. I want to recreate it because that's just the way my brain works.
Yeah,
and
it's
like, it's never done out of malice, and it's never done out of like, haha, I'm stealing your fucking curry recipe.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Like, that was amazing. Holy shit. Like, how do I recreate that?
Yeah.
Sorry, you continue.
Yeah, no. And I, no, that's great. I just like, I'm always so conflicted because on one side of the coin, I'm just like, you know, they're paying homage. You know, the industry loves an homage. Mm-hmm. They love that fucking word. But when I keep thinking about it from a deeper level, why has there been, the industry is fractured. We know this, but why is there such an authentic disconnect between what really enriches and inspires people to like, how you can create more fiscal responsibility in regards to like bridging that equity gap, you know, like the,
that's what I'm saying. Like doing like, work with like when, Jennifer Kim and I did the Trini Korean fusion thing, it was like, I did a lot of research into like what things that could culturally like cross paths. Like that's when I learned that there's a huge South Korean embassy in Trinidad. I was
really?
Like, what the fuck?
Huh.
Like, this doesn't
know that.
Make any sense. But like, she was explaining that there's a huge interest in like coming to the Caribbean and learning about Caribbean islands, and Trinidad needs money, and South Korea is like, let's do this thing together. And so like creating foods that I like love and respect when I go to like Korean barbecue places and stuff, making that like happen in a Trini like sauce setting was dope.
Yeah.
But I think like that's the way that it should be done. Like,
absolutely.
I think that there needs to be like more meeting of the people who like were born and raised eating that food and have taken it to another level. And I think that's the thing. Like, I think that Asian cuisines are the most under attack for like being consumed by white culture, because white people tend to accept Asian culture a lot more so than like African cultures.
Anywhere. Like,
because
than anywhere
it's
else.
Like the closeness to like whiteness.
Right.
And it's a proximity thing. And I feel like it's been a long time coming for like members of the Asian community to be like, yo, what the fuck? Also, before I forget, I want to say putting fish sauce in pasta sauce isn't too crazy, because marinara sauce has
anchovies originally.
Yeah. So it's like, I get it. But going back to what I was saying originally, ADHD.
Hi, same.
Like,
the disco ball is not distracting.
I keep looking at it. I'm like, I feel like if we start actually working with people who have the knowledge of the dishes and the culture, and you're actually learning, and you're not right. like being like, this is something that I came up with, but it's more of a collaboration. I think that people will understand a little bit more what it is.
And I think it also starts with the fact to where like people have to care. First and
exactly.
foremost
and I, no one
that.
Cared until people yeah. were like, please don't do that. And right. we're like, why?
And then yeah. it was directly correlated to, you know, their bottom line, their, you know, profits. And I have expressed it just so much. I just money like stresses me out. Like, it's just I'm like, we could have done literally anything else. And this is what we're doing here.
You chose it.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. But so for me personally, I think the idea of the inspiration of care to kind of start bridging those gaps mm-hmm. really has to lean into accountability. Certain things that people have done in this industry that they have, you know, built entire groups off of, who's getting the acknowledgement behind the scenes. It's right. just like no one.
It's the chef.
And I think that it needs to lean into accountability more as well.
How do we yeah. do that then? I guess that's like mm-hmm. that the next part of these conversations right. and like, you know, the perpetually just like fucking putting myself into situations that are like, I recently just had a job where I was the fucking odd man out. Mm-hmm. Like I was the only white guy in the entire
place.
How
did that feel though?
I mm-hmm. came into it like fucking let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let me get it. Let's get into it. And I, you know, talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. Hey, hi, how are you? Start learning more of the language and things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got fired because they didn't like that I was there. At least that's what I took from it. Like, I was not bought into the crew and, you know, we can, you know, have a sidebar on that off of this. But like, I rolled into it like, this is something that I don't know a ton about. Mm. But if I'm going to learn it, this is where I'm going to learn it.
Yeah.
And I was literally kicked to the curb for it. And I was just like, yo. Huh. And it's like, and it made me reflect on a lot of shit. Like, okay, how could I have done better? And obviously, I know most people aren't going to do that. They're going to be like, ah, fuck those people. They're the enemy. Right. And it's like, nah, I mean, you know, I'm my harshest critic in that sense. So it's like, okay, if I want to know this and I want to learn this and I want to understand more, who do I go to? Like before I locked my hair, I read a whole book just called Rastafari.
Oh, my God. I was like, thank you so much for talking about it because I woke up this morning and I was like, don't say it.
All good. Because I didn't want to be that fucking, you know, I started these when I was, you know, what, 2006?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Long time. But it was like, you know, the reason I did it, I saw the Deftones when I was in, like, grade school. And I was like, oh, that dude's got dreadlocks and plays bass? That's what I want. Nice. Here we are. Rest in peace, Chi Chang. He died. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. But, you know, it was like, I did my research. And it's like, white people saying the words, do your research these days is not a good... It's not a good look based off of what happened.
But I am grateful that people are doing the research.
And
sometimes it's skewed research, though.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
How the internet is the same for everyone. Yeah,
it's just like you can find whatever you want to find.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
It's just like it's comfortable research.
Custom facts.
Exactly.
Yes. You can find them there.
Yeah, you're just like, so right. That was awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's like, where do you start? Where do you go? Is it books? What is the best way to bridge it? And you know,
I think I understand a little bit of what happens because sometimes when white people come in being like, I want to learn all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. We're like, are you an undercover cop? Like, what are you trying to do?
What
is this information that you want? Yeah. But also, I think that it's also a conversation of like some spaces are not meant for white people. And I think that black people have a history of feeling not the safest amongst white people.
Yep.
And like, I'm used to being the only black person in a room 100% of the time. I'm so grateful that you are a black man. Thank you so much.
Hi. Hello. It me.
But like, it's I've also like learned how to survive.
Right.
In,
because you've had because to, I've you had haven't to, had the right. fucking privilege of being like, I'm going to do this because I want to.
Exactly. Like, right. I'm like, this is like what I need to do, blah, 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 to make it happen. So I like, I'm not condoning what they did, but I can see how if someone was like, I just like, people are just feeling uncomfortable and they think that you're asking too many questions and like all this stuff. I think that it's sad that that happened to you, but also absolutely. I'm like, that happens to Black people and all people of color all the time. Well,
and I definitely feel like it's almost inverted, right? Because just in regards to gatekeeping and whiteness and things like that, I'm just thinking about how with the things that you were mentioning, Jeremy, it maximizes your presence while the white presence is minimizing to everyone else.
Yeah. Right. It's, I mean, I'm laughing at the made up headline in my head. Well-intentioned white man wonders what went wrong.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I obviously, like, I understand who I am having this conversation, but like, also, let's have the fucking conversation. Yeah, let's talk about it, because it's like, I'm sure somebody else out there is like, well, I want to learn and I want to know these things. And it's like, you know, I...
And it's uncomfortable to ask.
Oh, it totally fucking
is. It is. I'm out 10%.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. I will want straight to up run.
I will like Google stuff at work instead of like asking someone 100%. Sometimes, because I'm just like, do I want to?
I can't ask this fucking question.
Yeah,
I can't
do it. No. Yeah,
but you know what? Like, fucking, you got to do it. And it's like, I'm sure there are people out there now with what has happened in the last couple of years that are like, no, let's bridge this gap. Let's change some shit. Let's see what's going on. And like, let's actually have a fundamental understanding of what we're doing here.
Oh my God. Yeah. I almost had another like Clueless reference, because I just thought back to, I don't know. Like, it just like Clueless just, it just like stays
it's relevant.
In, yeah. It just stays in my mind. Absolutely. And I'm thinking of when Cher was just like, we get in there, rearrange a few things, you know, like everyone could come to like, you know, my dad's like, whatever.
Oh, my God.
And
the
it's
debate.
Just like, it's true. It's so, I mean, it is true.
I mean, it is. And it's, yeah. it's,
you know, add a couple chairs to the table.
Well, that's the thing. That's what they're talking about is like, OK, this is a perfect example.
Hit me.
And it's going to be horrible.
Hit me. Let's go. I'm sitting in it.
So. The war is happening. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, fuck, we need to like support Ukraine, get them out of there, blah, blah, blah. And my brain, I'm like, yes, 110%. I get it. And then I was like, something is missing here. And the first thing I saw when I went onto Instagram at 6:05 this morning was Amanda Seales posted thing about about like white Ukrainians stopping Black people from getting on transportation out of, and it's all like students and refugees and doctors. And I'm just like, oh yeah, racism doesn't take a break for war.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the sort of thing that like Black people are, and like people of color are dealing with.
Right.
It's like, we want to be here for everything, but 100% of the time, no one is here for us.
Right.
And I think that like after, you know, 200 years plus of like Black people not having a space, I think that we're now at a point where we're creating spaces for Black people to feel comfortable and confident in learning skills that might not be necessarily offered to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels weird when it like is now being used by other people. I think I felt that way when I did, but in a like education level.
Right. I totally see what you're saying, because it's like you've created a thing that you have not had forever.
Yeah.
And then other people come along and go, oh, I want to do that too. It's like, no, this is not your time. And I
think it's having a weird effect on the world right now when you tell people it's not their time.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what do you mean? And well, it's always like why
but that's
me?
Like the you know, well, it's the you should calm down.
Yes.
You know, like when you tell someone to calm down.
Jesus.
They're going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah, they're programmed to do the exact opposite.
Yes. And that's what it is.
Yes.
Race cannot be separated from issues. but people have made it so that it has been. So now when we're putting race back into the game, people are like,
whoa,
fuck.
Whoa, what are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. And that's bullshit because yeah. It's never gone away just because you like fucking looked the other way for, you know, a couple weeks. Like you didn't change anything.
Or you posted a black square.
Right. Great.
Yeah. On your Instagram.
I would say in 30 years, everyone will be khaki colored. So we're good. Like in 30 years, we'll all be like the same color. So like,
I feel like there are actually plenty of experts out there that have said exactly
they're
that.
Saying 50, but I'm like, am I going to make it that long?
Well, but then also
50. Also, let's see here. I'm going to live till I'm 100. I've decided. Like, so
I live past 65,
I'm like, carry the one.
Shoot
carry
me. I don't want to be those people who like was there for racism, the Civil War, then back to fucking Trump. Are you kidding me?
How
those people exist.
Yeah. You know, just like you must just stay tired.
I
because
cannot.
You have had multiple lifetimes.
Imagine like being there for like the beginning of like phones as we know it, and then you now have like a fucking iPhone 12 in a nursing home.
Yeah,
no. I don't want that.
No,
I don't
no.
want
I mean,
that.
I guess I get that. Like, so,
and I think like, well, one, like just getting older is a blessing, but I feel you on that, you know,
yeah,
because my grandfather used to say that. He's just like, you know, what's gonna keep you young, Justin? You gotta move. And I was like, move where? He's like, move your body.
I know.
I'm trying to do that.
I'm like, I don't want to do
that. Downloaded the Nike training app because Megan Thee Stallion has a series coming up on it. And I was like, if I can get Megan knees, that's all I need.
Oh my God. I don't need play video games these days. I don't do anything else.
Oh,
I cook, and then I
but
play
see,
video games.
But you're moving your mind.
That's what I... That's easy.
I got you.
It requires mental dexterity to do the things that I'm doing.
Mental dexterity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a vibe.
Yeah. That is all.
I don't have that.
I am taking that home and putting it above my computer.
I have no. I have none of that. I have no short-term memory.
No mental dexterity.
No. I don't. I don't have any of that.
Yes, you do.
Well, it's either that or just like. Fucking endless void of chaos and pit of despair. So it's like, let's focus on some dragons and stuff, or else we're going down.
I just got out of the depression level of like not wanting to learn about what's happening in the world. So like reading articles again.
I'm in it now.
I'm in it. Yeah. I'm like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I can read the news again.
Mm-mm. No.
I can't watch the news, but I like to read articles about what's happening.
I was talking to my friend Elle not too long ago, and you know, I felt like I blacked out during this conversation because they were like, "Yo, can you please just like bring it all in and just have a little some positivity?" It's just like, you know, you got lungs in your air. Excuse me.
I'm like, what the fuck is positivity?
Yeah, but I was just like, instead of having lungs in my air, like I had air in my lungs. And it's just like, you know, there's all these things like in life in general that is just like going to bog you down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you have to find, you know, those little positivity, you know, moments. But I was just like, okay, so you don't have notifications turned on your phone either.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
I was just like, okay, but I...
Nope. Turn them off.
Yeah, I'm like, shout out to people that can do that, but also it's just, I cannot. Another question that I wanted to ask you, Jeremy. What do you think the general public should be mindful of when it comes to, you know, certain industry heavyweights?
People or just like...
organizations, the whole
everybody.
Thing, the,
yeah, everybody,
the, you know, the quote unquote star chef idea.
Well,
and actually, it's no longer an idea. I mean, it's a reality.
It is a reality. Absolutely. 100%. And the restaurant industry versus the public is such an interesting fucking thing. And this is something that I struggle with all the time. And like being out of work now for a little bit, I've had a lot of time to like really figure some shit out in my head. And it's like the restaurant industry is. We'll start here, this one point, and then I'll get to your heavyweights and the star culture and stuff like that. Like, the restaurant industry is the one purchasable good or service that somebody can say that's not worth that.
Yes.
And, you 100%. Know, I know you don't like money makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
In money is my comfort. Mm-hmm, like anybody mm-hmm. that owns a restaurant should absolutely be making fucking money. And that comes from the customer paying for the goods and the services.
Yes.
And it's like, for some reason, we have empowered the customers to be like, no.
I hate that.
I didn't like that. I don't want to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I bought vegetables I didn't fucking like. I didn't bring them back to Jewel and say, exactly. hey, give me my money right. back.
Exactly.
Tough shit, dude. Like, that's right. the cost of it. Like, right.
Well, food, that's also because we have been socialized as kitchen people truly. To, like, not really complain about anything.
Cannot.
Like, I will never yeah. return something to a kitchen. Like, go if I go somewhere
I
to eat,
I can't do it.
And
I'll
something's
it.
Wrong, I'll eat it. I'll fucking eat it, yep. and I yeah. won't say anything because yeah. I'm like, I know what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if I don't say anything, you're still going to get, like, 5 complaints from, like, the tables around me. Because people just have opinions,
right?
And we and have like, led them to believe
my mom
that
tried
they can
to
say
send
them.
Back something one, no, 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 one no, no, time, no. and I was like,
you can't do that,
Dolores. If you do not,
I will eat it.
Yeah, I was.
You
just
can
like,
order something
you
else.
You want to switch?
I'm like, yeah, it's entirely fine.
Mine's delicious.
I was like, you know what? I just need a to-go box, and you know. They're good. Like, are you certain?
Yes.
And I'm just like, I am absolutely positive. And yep. do not ask me
here's
about
your
it one
25%
more time.
Tip.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
At
yes.
minimum.
Wonderful.
At yep. minimum. I was just like, here you go. Do you want me to stack these for you? Like, I'm like, I'm
yeah, exactly.
110%.
Yeah, yep.
I'm just like, am I helping or hindering?
Right I know. I, it's like, delicate balance.
Yes. Yeah.
So the heavyweights, the stars, the big groups and things like that. And I can only speak to my experience. I've worked for 2, let's call them celebrity chefs. Mm-hmm. One, I met twice in 2 years. The other, I had worked the line and worked services with and developed menus with and saw this person 6 days a week fire a tasting at every single restaurant that they own in mm-hmm. Chicago to make sure that the food quality was the same.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a spectrum on that shit of who's going to be a hardworking person and who's going to be like, I'm fucking smiling for pictures and that's yeah. it. And like, you know what? These people didn't get there by accident. They didn't get there by being in the room at the right time. It's mm-hmm. like these people had to work. Like yeah. this industry doesn't give a shit about you.
No.
The public doesn't give a shit about you. Like
right.
it's tough because if you want to get to that level, you have to work so much harder than fucking Joe Schmo trying to get a Michelin star.
Yeah.
And what you're yeah. doing in doing that, in my opinion, is you're just like, my knees, I got 40 years on my knees and then I need new ones or yeah. I need to stop being on a concrete floor all day. So
exactly.
it's like
right.
you set up for that after, like, because for a lot of us, there is no, well, this is after I'm done cooking. No, for the majority of us, it's like, well, I'll cook until I can get on yeah. disability or
like my brother was talking about retiring.
The fuck is
and
that?
And I was oh like, God. I don't yeah. know what you're saying.
Oh no,
that is not a thing for me.
Oh these heavyweights, they are getting to a point to where they can retire or yep. they already are. And it's like, would I love to have those comforts? Absolutely. Do I think a lot of the changes of the industry and conversations that have happened over the last 2 years are starting to affect some heavyweights and the way that they perceive things?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think that these conversations need to continue to happen. I, you know, in being unemployed, I've spoken to a few people about jobs and then they get to compensation and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Yep.
No. I'll wait it out to find the right thing that to like
to have a livable wage.
Dude, totally. And yeah. My older brother who got me into nightclubs and stuff earlier, he's now into like big events and marketing and stuff. And he was out of a job for a while because of, you know, the last 2 years and mm-hmm. there were no events. And mm-hmm. he explained it to me and he goes, when you have an offer in front of you and it doesn't line up with you, he's like, have the conversation of being like, if I say yes to you, I say no to myself.
Yep.
And I was like, what does that mean? And it's like kind of looking at the values have to align.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of the heavyweights are listening and having conversations with their staff and, you know, their it's people underneath them and stuff like that. Because,
yeah.
you know, the face isn't always the umbrella.
Yeah.
Like that's you're at the pinnacle of it. And then it's like there's probably 400 people that work underneath, you know, the faces at the festivals and on TV.
Exactly.
Like right. I'm sure Guy Fieri's got a fucking entourage with him.
110%.
Okay, but like, yo, but like
he's a real okay. So,
but like, look at what
really
he
nice
does.
Guy. Yeah, he's a very nice person.
Like all
yeah.
the like, shit in California, he was like, no, we're fucking. I'm not gonna say the two words that end in ing and out.
Yes,
but like, just showed up and was like, we're cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
also he did a ton during
of
the,
relief.
Yeah,
he's done more yeah. for restaurants yeah. than the fucking government, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that dude is a saint.
He's insane. A very, very nice man. And every weekend, all the food
oh,
that
the fucking from grocery like, from, store.
Yeah, they donate it to food banks, local food banks.
Just fucking amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
It was like, being on amazing. That set was
that,
great.
But then that is a prime example
but,
of yeah. that.
But then you have properties and you have groups that, you know, because of, you know, policy, they'd be like, oh, well, I mean, like this leftover food, it has to go in the trash because.
Yeah,
you
I know someone who got
like,
fired from the Peninsula because they were going to throw out the Thanksgiving pies.
Oh, what?
And they took like two of them and they got fired. Either they're going in the trash.
I can confidently say that I have never worked for any company or organization that aligned with that value.
That's
we,
great.
We took yeah. care. Yeah, we took care too. Of people. Mm-hmm. While 2020 happened, I was unemployed for 3 months. But for those 3 months, and I'll say this and I'll say this on record, Steph organized it with all of her purveyors and out of her pocket to feed every one of her restaurant employees groceries every Friday for the entire time that we were all closed from March 15th. Till the middle of June when Cabra reopened because we had a rooftop patio. Every Thursday I went and I broke down chickens. I bagged up produce, eggs, cheese, milk, cream, every vegetable you can imagine. I mean,
that's so much
for what is that? That's 3 full months of yeah. doing that. And then like wasn't out here like, oh, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. No. Do the fucking work and let's go and let's
yeah
let's,
that's
let's
the thing
get it
just
done.
Just get the work done. You don't have yeah. to like tell everyone you're doing it.
Right.
Move in silence.
Right.
Absolutely.
A lot yeah. of people don't like to move in silence.
No.
And I think that might
I feel like
be...
Justin thinks that I move in silence about the podcast because I always forget to like it's, bring you know, up when I do stuff and it's like it's not because of that. It's just like I'm honestly still surprised that people listen to us on the internet.
Dude, I literally found this podcast organically through somebody in the industry. And I listened and I was like, this is fucking cool.
It's a warming feeling. I don't like
accept
it.
I know. Oh, do you hate compliments too?
Yes.
You like, get this away from me. Get this away from me.
Crawling out of my skin.
I'm uncomfortable. Oh,
well, so... I have to do the infamous sigh.
In closing.
Because we are, you know, getting to the point to
are
where
we approaching
we have to
the
do,
mark.
Yeah, we have to do the things that we know to do. But I, Jeremy, have a final question for you. Because we spoke about quite a bit, as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
So
I feel like we could talk for days.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and we would love to have yes. you back, and you know we'll have like a part two and all of that good stuff.
I got plenty of time.
Okay,
so y'all like, let me know when
okay,
I will
no,
be here.
Not a problem at all. But so, where do you find peace within the industry? Like things that like really, really inspire you? And I think you kind of just alluded to it just a brief moment ago, but I wanted to ask that question directly.
It's interesting, and I don't want to sound, you know, pompous or anything, but like I've found that there isn't much, so I've tried to create as much as I could.
Yeah.
And you know, with my previous staffs and everything, like the switch in mentality of like people make the food.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Take care of your people, and you'll have good food.
100.
And once I found that, I started to kind of open up my emotional receptors because hi again, Capricorn.
Yeah,
we ain't good at that. To kind of like give everybody around me a little bit of a, hey, how are you doing? Are we good? What's going on?
Yeah.
How are you today?
Asking a question and actually like seeming like you want to hear what the person is going to say. That's like a big like step
that opened me up to like kind of like find that peace, like you said. And it's I hope that that shit continues, and wherever I land next, like,
yeah,
that's
and I think
it's
something
one.
That you just have to take with you.
You have to. You have to leave it there too.
Yeah.
Like, don't stop doing that because I'm not there.
Exactly.
But like, also wherever I go next, bet your ass we're doing that. And Fridays, we're wearing Hawaiian shirts. Because dude, we did that, and we did it at Cabra. In the middle of everything, once we were reopened, we were busy, and it was hard because we didn't have everybody. We had a staff of like 35 down to 10 doing similar business and stuff. So it was like my sous chef, shout out Drew Keen, was like, dude, what if we just wore Hawaiian shirts on Friday? And I pulled out my phone and I ordered the most ridiculous one on Amazon. I hit purchase and I just showed it to him and he goes, all right.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to do like something to bring a little bit of joy, like real, silly joy
just,
to a situation.
Stop taking yourself so serious.
That's what I've been saying this whole fucking time. Like, no matter what restaurant I was at or Michelin star or not, it's like,
fuck it. It's food.
You have to laugh. And I think I've always been that type of personality, but I think that working for Ryan Pfeiffer,
I want to work for him so bad.
He definitely like brought that energy with him, like every day and everything that he did. And it made me feel better about like not being as serious.
Yep.
Because I think part of how I dealt with like the intensity of certain kitchens was to channel my inner white man. And then I realized that like by the time I
was five years in, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I'm fighting. Yeah, I'm going to like speak up for what I want.
Yep.
Because just in general, like, women are not socialized to do that.
No.
So I think that I, like, absorbed that energy from, like, all the white dudes around me. Right. And then when I got to, like, a management level, I was like, oh, shit, this is toxic. Like, I have to change the way that I interact with people.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
I have to, like, not be a bro anymore.
Yeah.
In that way.
You like, you fight to get it, and then you're like, all right, let's fucking change
it. Let's change
this.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, 36 year old man, I don't really want to be friends with anybody. I want to be friends with Ryan Pfeiffer. Like, legit. Like, that dude is inspiring on so many levels.
He's wonderful.
And he would feel deeply uncomfortable if you were saying
I
it
know
right
that.
Now.
Also, yes. Worked on a tiny horse farm? What the fuck is that life? Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I saw him at my friend's birthday party, and he was there for like 15 minutes total. Came in, said hi to everyone, and then he was leaving, and he was like, Reba's good to see you, and gave me a hug, and it was like the nicest hug that I've had in a while. Then he walked over to my boyfriend and did the same thing, and my boyfriend looked at me and he's like, I want to be his best
dude,
friend.
There's something,
and I'm like,
yep
absolutely,
I'm in that club.
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
I know it's really happening.
I know
now.
It's really.
What and if I just keep talking and then don't let you interject so that we will have to continue the episode? Don't think for a second that I'm not the youngest child of four boys, and I can and will make my presence known by not stopping the conversation that I am unwilling to let end.
Terms of
at
service
this
time. Filibuster in effect right
I'm
now.
I'll filibuster your ass.
I feel that energy though. I'm also the last of four, and I'm like, my brother was visiting this week and he was like, I'm not trying to get into
like,
a fight with you. I
was
like,
for me.
That's
I'm
how
like,
I'm talking.
Like,
oh, in comfort zone. Yeah. We could go.
No.
I was like, I don't want to interrupt you,
you
but
will
I
not,
fucking will.
You will not. If I don't let you, you will not, sir.
I was like, oh my God. Well, thank you for that, because now I'm actually sweating. So thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
How can we find
thank
you,
though?
You.
Yes. How
on
can
the
we
internet.
Find you?
Instagram, at Jeremy Dreads.
Awesome.
It's sweet. Half pictures of my wife, half pictures of silly things or food. And that's really about it. Not really doing anything else right now. If you want to find me in the World of Warcraft, I'm on Illidan. My character's name is Farthammer.
Oh my God.
Farthammer.
It's also my license plate.
Amazing. Okay.
And that's it.
There's definitely going to be a part two to this episode because I want to hear all about that.
That's so, that's the end of my episode.
Yeah. That is great. So I have to give the
wonderful appreciation that brings all of this together. First and foremost, I would love to thank our friends here at Blind Barber for hosting this necessary conversation. Also, our wonderful friends at Seedlip, not only for their product, but their support. And also, so this episode will be dropping in April, and Seedlip is thrilled to announce that they are becoming a member of 1% for the Planet. And through their bespoke process with each botanical, Seedlip captures the essence of nature to invigorate the senses and connect people to nature, to their roots. The importance of this connection to nature is why they chose to become a 1% for the Planet member, and they are vastly honored to be a part of this community. And with that, they are honored to announce that they are partnered with We Got Next. And people are like,
who is she? Tell us more.
Who is that?
We Got Next amplifies individual stories of adventure and activism from communities that have been underrepresented in outdoor conservation and environmental spaces. They share their vision of a world where everyone is inspired to fall in love with nature because they see reflections of themselves in outdoor spaces. Experiences with nature ground us in our shared humanity, strengthening both our individual and collective roots. So shout out to Seedlip and also We Got Next.
Yep.
In closing from me, I just want to give a supreme shout out to not only the amazing crew that helps us bring this together, Cortez, Max, Ryan from Garnet Crew, Daniel, Nweba, I appreciate you more than I can ever express. Just thank you so much. You're absolutely wonderful.
Stop it.
This, like, you know, I'm really feeling like the amplification here of like all the greenery and then, you know, like the books. Like, I'm feeling regal.
Really, it's fancy.
It's giving.
It is giving.
And so, and on that note, my friends, I am Justin Arnett Graham, and you can find me on Instagram at This Is Biko, and also Terms of Service Podcast on Instagram. Like, follow, all of the things, and we will see you out there. Nariba?
Yeah, it's over. Here we go. My name is Nariba Shepherd.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to need a little bit, like, you know.
My name's Nariba Shepherd.
Thank you so much.
You can find me on Instagram at Rebaru, Rebaru. I'm also on TikTok. It's very sad. It's like real sad. But yeah, I'm sad.
I'm sorry.
Okay, bye.
Love y'all.
Bye.
That's over.